do you think, Reverend Carroll? One more, or you want to start? You're muted, Reverend Carroll. There we are. There you are.
Okay. All right. Are we ready to begin?
Yes.
Fine by me. Greetings to everyone. I welcome you to this worship service of Central Congregational Church in Attleboro Falls. And if you're a visitor today, as we say, we always welcome you and hope that you will join us whenever you choose to be with us. I'm going to call on Pastor Glenn, our youth pastor, to please call us to worship.
This is a day which the Lord has made. We will rejoice and be glad in it. This is a day which Jesus promised, you shall receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you, and you shall be my witnesses. Come, Holy Spirit, come. Christians, we participate in bringing this world to you in prayer and by modeling our life with you in what we say and do. We are here to reconcile the world to you by serving as your ambassadors. Remind us that we are to see others not from a worldly point of view, but from a heavenly one, hoping that everyone would turn to you in faith. For we know that if anyone is in Christ, he or she is a new creation. The old has gone and the new has come. We celebrate that as we pray the prayer that you taught your disciples, saying, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts, as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen.
And I'd like to call on Gil Reinders of our Mission Committee for our mission moment. Gil.
Hi, good morning, everyone. I'm pleased to announce this morning that the congregation has contributed $665 to the RIP Medical Debt Initiative. And you'll recall when we announced the this particular project several weeks ago, that the Mission Committee had also made a commitment to add $2,000 from the Mission Committee budget, which is through the endowment. So our total gift is $2,665. And you'll remember the arithmetic that we had shared. If you gave $10 to RIP, that's worth $100. So our submission, the value of that really totals $266,500. And so we just simply have to rejoice in the Lord. Thank you for your giving. Reverend Carroll, I went online last night to the conference just to see if they had updated maybe their report, but the report was still dated May 15th, and they were showing just over $1.4 million raised through congregations within our conference. And so we can rejoice that we've bumped that up to $1.6 million. And again, if you do the arithmetic, it simply says the conference, value of what the conference is providing is over $165 million. To help people with their medical debt. So thank you for your participation. I hope it's a project that we can do in the future if the conference promotes this further. And let's just rejoice for those within Connecticut, Rhode Island, and Massachusetts that will benefit from our contribution as well as that of all the folks in the conference. So God bless you. Thank you for giving.
Thank you very much, Gil. That's terrific. I really appreciate all of the work that you've done to bring us to this point. This is the time when we have announcements, and I'm telling you, my announcements are drying up because we have nothing to plan for very much into the future. So I'd still remind you that the church office is open still on Tuesdays and Thursdays, but please call before you come just to make sure that we are there. Are there any other announcements that anyone would like to make? Pastor Glenn?
Yeah, I have a couple. So unfortunately, the cookout, the family cookout is canceled that we're going to have this Friday, but we'll have a Zoom meeting for families and kids that would want to do that, and that'll be at 6 o'clock on Friday. Also, there's a children's message floating around. I'm not sure if Kathy got it in time on Thursday to send it out, but if not, it'll probably go on Tuesday, and I'll probably put it on Facebook too, so you can see that as well. That gives some of the details of the Zoom meeting too. So those couple things.
Okay, thank you. Anyone else like to add anything? All right, then I guess it's time for us to listen to A Mighty Fortress Is Our God.
There we are. Okay.
A mighty fortress is our God, a bulwark never failing. A helper, he amid the flood of mortal ills prevailing. For still our ancient foe doth seek to work us woe. His craft and power are great, and armed with cruel hate. On earth is not his equal. That word above all earthly powers, no thanks to them abideth. The Spirit and the gifts are ours through him who with us sigheth. Let goods and kindred go, his mortal life also, the body they may kill, God's truth abideth still, his kingdom is forever.
Thank you very much for that, Mr. Dave. This is the time we share our celebrations. There's one that I would like to mention, and that is that Richard is out of the ICU in Boston and is now at the Braintree Rehabilitation Hospital. So we rejoice with Richard and with Carmen with that good news. Are there any other celebrations that you would like to lift up today?
My dear friend who has been struggling with lung cancer had surgery on Friday, and they thought what they were removing would be a big tumor, and that particular issue they were able to do laparoscopically, and it turns out that it was a cyst, a huge cyst, and she was able to go home the same day, and it's the first good news she's had in a long time.
That's wonderful.
We're thrilled. Lots of prayers, so yeah.
We rejoice with you. That's terrific.
Thank you.
That's terrific. Any other celebrations before we turn to concerns? If not, then let us turn to our concerns this morning, and we pray for all of these people who are ill or in need of prayer for another reason. We remember this morning especially Nikolai, Ed and Janet, although Ed is on with us and Janet is out of the hospital, which is great. We pray for Ken, for Lee, for Tyler, for Wade, for Brigitte, for Chad and Cher, Jen, Doris, Steve and Lee, Marie, Richard, who is now at Tree Rehab, as I announced, Carol, who is due to have vascular surgery soon, Matt Trowbridge and his team at Assisted Living. We pray for Aaron, Eric, and Cora. And Cheryl and John are also back to work, so that is certainly good news. Those in the nursing homes remain in assisted living, Bud, Jackie, and Carol. We also continue to pray for all of those who are suffering from the coronavirus and for first responders, all who work in the medical profession, for those who suffer from addictions, for our government officials who are working hard to protect us. And as always, we pray for our nation and our communities as we face this difficult situation together. We also pray for our cities that are being ravaged and burned at this time. So please join me for a moment of prayer. And in the middle of it, we will pause for a moment of silence, a time when you can mute yourselves, and then you can return to silence. Let us pray. Holy Spirit, when Jesus left his disciples and ascended into heaven, he promised to send a comforter, your Holy Spirit. On this Pentecost Sunday, when you poured down your Spirit on these early believers, you set in motion the establishing of your church on earth. Be with us as we pray this morning as a church unable to meet physically because of this terrible pandemic. We come as a church hurting for our nation as cities burn and people die at the hand of violence, simply because they demand justice. We know we are imperfect human beings in an imperfect world, and we ask that your Holy Spirit pour out upon us once again as you did on that first Pentecost. Holy God, we stand before your judgment seat, redeemed through faith in Jesus Christ, our Savior. We gather as sisters and brothers in covenant with you and with every other Christian who seeks to do your will. We journey in faith, bear the burdens of one another, and so lessen their strain and despair as you have eased ours. Speak to us as you did to the prophets, the disciples, and so many others. When we are afraid, let us know you are near. There are some who might make light of our efforts to be faithful. Help us to hear your guiding words amid the distractions of everyday living and other voices. Nourish us for the journey. Strengthen us in our care for one another. Hear us this morning as we pray for those whose names we have lifted up, and hear the names of others in need of your healing and presence as we mention them aloud in our homes and in your presence. And let us be in a time of silence. Gracious God, through grace you have sought us. In Christ you have redeemed us. By faith it is no longer we who live, but Christ who lives within us. And it is in his name that we dare ask your peace and your blessing be upon us. Amen. Wayne, you're muted. You're muted.
How about now?
Better.
The scripture lesson for today is comes from the Old Testament, from the book of Isaiah. Isaiah was a prophet sent to Israel 700 years before the birth of Jesus. The Jews were in exile in Babylon, and Isaiah was sent to bring the word of God and to proclaim the coming of Messiah. This is Isaiah chapter 43, verses 1 and 2 and 18 and 19. But now thus says the Lord, he who created you, O Jacob, he who formed you, O Israel, do not fear, for I have redeemed you. I have called you by name. You are mine. When you pass through the waters, I will be with you. And through the rivers, they shall not overwhelm you. When you walk through fire, you shall not be burned. And the flame shall not consume your neighbor as yourself. Do not remember the former things or consider the things of old. I am about to do a new thing. Now it springs forth. Do you not perceive it? I will make a way in the wilderness and rivers in the desert. May God help us in our understanding of those words. And now, if we unmute Mr. Dave, he can introduce our...
Am I unmuted?
You are indeed, Dave.
Thank you. Musical offering that we have is a song that's actually out of our hymnal. It's called Because He Lives. And we're blessed to have Sherilyn play it on the trumpet for us today. So we're not going to hear the lyrics, but I wanted to use this as a meditation point to think about all that's going on in the world. Because He Lives, the lyrics talk about that we can have hope because He lives. We can have hope and belief in God because Jesus died and because He lives. We can also have hope. The second verse says we can have hope for a newborn child entering a world that may be full of dangers and tragedy, but we can have hope because He lives. And we can also have hope in all the things that God wants us to have because He lives. And all the things that are happening in the world today between the riots and the coronavirus and all the things that are happening in our country, there's hope. And there's hope because He lives. So here is Because He Lives. Thank you.
Thank you, Dave. I don't have to do the sermon now. You said it all. In our Old Testament lesson, Israel had been experiencing many, many bad years. Many of their best people are in exile in Babylon. It's not a happy time. But a prophet arises, a man named Isaiah, and he brings them a message of hope. And the message was something like this. This has been a difficult time, but look at the calendar. Don't look back. It's not the past anymore. God is alive and at work in human history here and now. Don't remember the former things, Isaiah says to them. Speaking in the name of God, he says this. Do not consider the things of old. I am about to do a new thing. In other words, don't look back at your disappointments, at the way things were. This is a new day. To encourage them even more, Isaiah had them look even further back in their history to the Exodus, another 700 years back, 1400 years before the birth of Christ, when God led the people out of slavery in Egypt. He reminds them of the time when the waters were rolled back to let them pass, and how the waters closed once again over the Egyptian chariots. Isaiah reminds them of their miraculous deliverance from the hand of Pharaoh, and he assures them that God will do it again. God will restore the Israelites to their home in Judea. Perhaps this is the message we need most in the church during this pandemic, during this time of incredible civil unrest. Churches, I have to admit, often are the dinosaurs of our cultural institutions. We are painfully slow to change. This dynamic can be good, and it can be bad for the church. It's good when the focus is on preserving biblical values and the traditions of our faith. It can become a negative, though, when the focus shifts to the methods and the practices of ministry in our local churches. And I am very proud of Central Congregational Church. We went into overdrive when we were advised to stop worshiping in our sanctuary just for two Sundays back on March 13th. And I can't believe it, but I counted them up. This is Sunday number 15 that we have been worshiping online. You, the congregation, recognized that you wanted to continue to worship together, and others had the tools to make it happen. Maybe that's what we should glean from Isaiah's words. Do not remember the former things or consider the things of old. I am about to do a new thing. And then he has a question for us. Now it springs forth. Do you not perceive it? The new thing that Isaiah was talking about became the hope of Israel when they were in captivity. The new thing that God was going to do was a rescue, a salvation from oppression. And that was the hope of the coming of a Messiah. Messiah simply means the anointed one. And that was usually the king at that time. There would be a new King David. And David had been the most powerful of all of the kings of Israel. In Isaiah's time, that kingdom had declined and was in utter shambles. As Christians, we identify that that Messiah was Jesus Christ. God did indeed do a new thing in Jesus. When we think of it historically, he changed the entire world. Our very calendar revolves around the birth of Jesus. We date things as BC, before Christ, and AD, Anno Domino, in the year of our Lord. It was a new thing, indeed. It involved his life, his teachings, his death, and most importantly, his resurrection. And today the Christian church celebrates the festival that we call Pentecost. Jesus had ascended into heaven. He had promised his followers that the Holy Spirit, a comforter, would come upon them, and they needed to be ready. God was going to do a new thing. Can we perceive something like that during this difficult time? Perhaps, perhaps not. In those days, the days of the first Pentecost, believers were meeting together in a house in Jerusalem to wait and pray as Jesus had instructed them. As they were worshiping, they heard a loud sound coming from the sky. It was the wind. The wind was howling like they had never heard it before. They looked up and saw what looked like giant tongues of fire descending. And the tongues of fire landed on each person present. In that dramatic moment, all the believers were filled with the Holy Spirit. And they each began speaking in different languages, we're told, as the Spirit gave them ability. And then an interesting thing happened. People on the streets and in nearby houses heard the commotion and wanted to find out what it was all about. Soon, the believers themselves caught up in the Spirit spilled outside onto the street as well. A crowd gathered. Now, Jerusalem was a metropolitan city filled with people from all over the known world. The bystanders heard the believers speaking in these foreign languages, some of which they recognized. Some of them even heard the disciples speak in their own native language. One of the things I know about being in this pandemic and in this isolation, I'm going to miss some things, and I'm really going to miss sports. It's baseball season. We haven't played a game yet. Football is almost upon us. Well, this is something that happened back in 1983. Only 8 minutes and 34 seconds remained in a game between the University of Nevada, Reno, and Fresno. Suddenly, Nevada running back Otto Kelly broke loose on an 89-yard scamper to a touchdown, giving his team a 22-21 lead. During that run, his coach, Chris Ault, got so caught up in the excitement that he began racing down the sideline along with Kelly. When Ault reached the Fresno 20-yard line, he realized he had gone beyond the marked-off area in which coaches are allowed to roam. He risked having his team penalized 15 yards for this behavior. So what did he do? He kept right on running. He dashed through the end zone, up a ramp, and out of the stadium. He was found hiding behind a truck. A fan asked him, "Hey, aren't you the coach for Reno?" Without a moment's hesitation, the coach replied, "I'm just looking for the hot dog stand." When the chagrined coach made it back to the bench, he learned that in spite of his attempt to elude the referees, the team had been penalized 15 yards on the subsequent kickoff, because he had broken the rules. And this, of course, gave good field position to Fresno State, which went on to kick a last-second field goal for a 24-22 victory. Getting carried away cost this football coach a win. But you gotta love his enthusiasm. Have you ever gotten excited about something, so excited that you could hardly believe it? You're calling everyone you know? It's exhilarating, isn't it? If you're a sports fan, you've been there. Now, I realize that not everyone gets excited, and they're suspicious of those of us who do. Some people are what we might call excitement challenged. One sure thing is, the first Pentecost was an amazingly exciting event. Pentecost was actually a Jewish festival. That's why there were so many Jews in Jerusalem at that time. To the Hebrews, it was known as the Festival of Weeks. The word Pentecost comes from the Greek word meaning 50. Pente, you know, five-sided pentagon, five-sided figure. The festival began 50 days after Passover and was celebrated as the day Moses received the tablets with the Ten Commandments on them. And this festival was always celebrated in Jerusalem. And so Jews had poured in from all over the known world for the festivities. They were supposed to be there to bring a special gift to God in proportion to the blessing that the Lord had given to him. So they were all there to be in the temple. All daily work was set aside. The people were to gather and worship. And who was invited? It says in Leviticus and Deuteronomy, "You are, your sons and daughters, your men servants and maid servants, the Levites in your towns, the aliens, the fatherless, and the widows living among you." In other words, just about everyone was invited. So it's small wonder that Jerusalem was crowded on that first Pentecost. No wonder there were so many different languages being spoken, because they came from all over the known world. This was as much diversity as you were apt to get at one time in one place in those days. In other words, the time was absolutely perfect for the Spirit of God to descend upon the church. It was also the perfect time to bring in a completely new era in the history of humankind. It would be an era like no other. It would transcend national borders. It would transcend every known language. It would ultimately draw all people together without regard to gender, color, economic status, or any of the other variables that have served to divide people through the ages. The Spirit of God was descending to build up the church, which is supposed to be the stepping stone to the coming of the kingdom of God, when God will reign in every heart. The symbolism is so rich. A violent wind, tongues of fire, people hearing and understanding in their own languages, observers utterly amazed. This is what happens when the Spirit comes. Our world is shaken, our senses come alive, and we know we stand on holy ground. Perhaps, just perhaps, this pandemic will bring the world together as we fight a common enemy during this terrible time. And yet, we know we're being torn apart by the same old problems of racism and oppression of the poor. And we need to listen for the voice of God, as faithful people have for centuries, to calm our fears and give us hope. But I know that one thing is certain. Once again, our world will shift and accommodate, and we will go on by the grace of God. Amen.
Now receive the benediction. Let your light so shine before everyone you know, so that they may see your good works and give glory to your Father who is in heaven. And may the favor of the Lord rest on us. God, please establish the work of our hands and of our minds and hearts on your behalf. Amen.
Amen.
Oh.